We got up to the... about the same that's in here, but... first part was Psalm, and... my first impression of it was the marvellous trenches the Germans had left. Beautifully made trenches and dugouts. But when I looked down the first one, of course, we'd driven the Germans from this position, you see. It was alive with one swarm of rats. The whole bottom of the trench was alive with rats. So it put us... we didn't go very far down in those dugouts, right, Joe? No, it was terrible. Of course, the feeding on the bodies. And it was alongside one of those trenches. I found this on the dead German. I took it off from him and took his revolver, but I had to give that when I got home, when I called in all the arms a long time after the war was over. They advised everybody to take this wasp, but or it'd be punishable.
Now, you mentioned about the rats in the German trenches. That obviously puts you off from being an infantryman. And, of course, our infantrymen also suffer from the rats. Did you suffer from the rats in the artillery being slightly behind the line, or not quite?
Well, they were there, but our captain had some ferrets he carried about all over, right through the war. Mm. And he used to go after the rats with them. And... of course, you could do a lot with artillery that you couldn't do with infantry, couldn't do. We had vehicles to carry stuff about, but it was limited, you know. But we had some very good times in spite of all the shells and all the mud.
Now, the Somme, the pre-Somme barrage, this must have been a continuous noise. Did you become so used to it that you could sleep whilst it was going on?
Oh, yes, yes, got quite used to it. In fact, it felt funny being out of the line when the shells weren't going, you know, and you couldn't hear them. Right out of the line, I mean, for a rest, which wasn't very often.
Now, what did it feel like after the war, then, when this noise suddenly stopped? Did it take you a while to get used to
it? Oh, it took quite a while, yes, and I missed all the companionship of the chaps, you know. I was at loose end for a long, long time. And I was an organ builder to trade, church organ builder. And they had the dam there at the time. They said I could go back, continue my apprenticeship. See, I was only young when I went out. And they offered me threepence halfpenny an hour. I went back for threepence halfpenny an hour. And, of course, wages weren't very high, but then even then it was a terrible thing to offer anybody coming back from 4 years of war. I was right from the beginning to the end, you see. Yeah. Well, right from April. Well, I was in the war right from the beginning, but I was out of France right all the way, right to the end. It's an awful job. I wish you'd drag me up sooner to tell me how I got my memory together. I did think of several things, but...
Oh, you're doing very well indeed, Mr. Lawson.
Hmm?
I say you're doing very well indeed.
I haven't told you much yet, have I?
No, you have told me a lot, and you carry on. If you don't mind, I'll jog your memory. Now, you joined up before the war as a territorial.
Yes, about 2 years before the war.
How old were you then?
Well, let's see, I had my 21st birthday at Almonteers, where the dog died. So I must have been, that was 15.
Be about 18.
I'll be about 18. Yes, I'll be about 18. Yes.
What made you join the territorial?
I think it had to be 18 anyway. Well, horses really, and
horses.
Also the uniform and the novelty. I thought, well,
I suppose. Well, you
thought of war then, you know. It just I enjoyed the camp. I enjoyed the horses. I used to go up to the drill hall 2 or 3 times a week, and had a lovely big riding school there, and that's where I was taught to ride. Horses galloping around on stuff like peat on the floor. If you fell off the horse, you didn't hurt yourself, which I did several times. You know, you vault onto the horse bareback and go right over the top onto the other side. That's funny. But I didn't take long to learn. And
you must have seen some very funny sights with chaps learning how to ride. I suppose it was a laugh a minute, wasn't it?
Well, the funniest thing was that captain being taken back to the wagon line and the horse got the homesickness. terrible horses used to rear up under any overhanging bough or any overhanging roof and try to squash on its back. And yet tonight it's a beast, a lovely beast.
I suppose you must miss
it. I called it after the last girl I was with before I went out to friend, Sadie. And another horse called Polly.
You named all your horses after your girlfriends.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I suppose being a young man in uniform, you had plenty of girlfriends,
yes,
did you?
Oh, yes, plenty, yes. I could tell you a lot about that, but it won't good do for the mic.
Oh, please do. This isn't, you know, for publication. This is what I'd like you to tell us. It's your story, you see. Go ahead.
Lecturous or otherwise?
Exactly. I don't mind. Lecturous or otherwise.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well, what are you going to do with all this when it's finished?
This is for my own personal
consumption. Oh, I see, yes.
So you tell me it's your story, you see.
Well, the first time we went... Let's get my facts right there. Bayeul, I forget the dress count, it must have been Bayeul that we went to the red, you know, the red lamp, the knocking shop, in other words. And the girls were all sitting, great big women, some of them, most of them, they're all sitting around the big table waiting for opening time. And when I came in, the blue-eyed garçon, ici, you know, and... When I got there, I was so embarrassed when I got to the bedroom that I couldn't get the beat, you know. I'd got to pin out like pin a winkle. I couldn't get a stand at all. They tried everything. I was so embarrassed and I couldn't do it. I was,
impotent.
Impotent,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, was this the first time you'd ever had a woman?
It was, yeah. Well, not a woman, but that sort of a woman. Yeah. And of course, it's full of tales of disease and all that, is a bit apprehensive. Yeah. Well, I went once or twice before or afterwards, but that's all right. But my city girls were the best, though.
Yeah. You were quite a young bloke. Yeah. Tell me about your city girls. How old were you when you first had a woman?
Well, about 19, I think.
Oh, that's old compared with, you know, present time.
Yeah. 18. Well, when you, I'm talking about the war.
Yeah.
But, of course, I had girls before. I think the first time was at Whitby Bay when lying on the sands and the tide nearly kept swept over us. That was the first time.
You were too excited to worry about the incoming tide.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting because the girls then obviously hadn't got the contraception that you've got now. Weren't worried at all?
No.
Or weren't the girls worried about...
The first... The first French girl... When we were going up the line in the cattle trucks, we stopped at a station and some girls, French girls there, and some of the chaps started to maul the girl, and they were very pretty, nice girl. I was talking to her. So I had a row with them. They wanted to, you know, start doing it on the platform. Well, it wasn't much of a platform, just a grass road. But I held them off until the train started moving. I got very bad odour for that, though. But she's a nice girl.
What did they charge you in the brothels?
Oh, anything you got, the fleece, about 10 francs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How long did you have with them? Did you sort of have a time limit or something?
Yes, very quick, in and out.
In and out.
Very quick, yeah. I wasn't very struck with it. I'd rather have the city one.
Mm.
I remember one used to take my washing to in the farm outside of the land, and I used to do it when she was leaning over the ironing board, ironing. Really?
Lovely. Everything had to carry on for work, eh?
And, yes. And just outside, right in the... one town was just going to be... should have been evacuated then. During the retreat, and the shells were crashing around the town, but I went to bed with Madam, and she's that fat, I couldn't find anywhere to go. She's so fat. And the shoulder pounding down there. That's a funny sound.
What were these prostitutes like in the main, I suppose?
Well, some were very nice. I picked the youngest one every time I could, because some were repulsive, great big fat lumps, you know. Well, I've had some very nice billets with girls. The best one was the last one, Fernand. She used to bring me coffee up in the morning. Her grandfather ran the power station. This is just outside Le Cateau, Morel, a place called Marwell. And that's where we were demobbed there. And this is an unofficial billet. But her father ran the power station, had a very nice family. And I was billeted the army didn't know I was billeted there. It was unofficial. And she used to bring my coffee up and get into bed beside me.
You had it made.
Yes. Marvellous. The grandfather never knew. It was a nice job. I liked them. I was sorry to do it, really, but from that point of view. But she was very, very nice. She wrote to me, Fernand called me. In fact, I've got the letter somewhere.
Well, now, how did these girls, prevent themselves from getting in the family way? Did you have letters or didn't you bother about them?
I don't think they tried. But I don't think, with this girl, I think I just, got so far away, didn't probably make a proper job. Yeah. For that reason.
So really, from the war experience, at least you had a certain amount of contact with what I call, civil life.
I went out, I didn't worry about promotion or anything like that. I made up my mind to make the best of the war and enjoy it as much as possible, which I did. And I can honestly say, in spite of everything, I know anybody listening would say, oh, damn liar, but I did really like it, up to a point.
Did you ever get promotion? Did you accept stripes?
No, I couldn't be bothered with that. That's one thing I couldn't be bothered with. The more promotion you got, the more rotten jobs you got, and the more worries. Well, I was quite happy as I was. I mean, I wasn't interested in military career. It was just the fact that I joined the Terriers for Horses, and I wasn't interested in the military side, really. I did what I had to.
You mentioned earlier on about the bottles at opening times. Did they have sort of regular opening times?
Yes,
like
regular
pubs?
Oh, yes, I had to have a rest. Yes.
What were the normal opening times then? Obviously, presumably at night time.
Yes, it'd be about 4 o'clock.
Mm. And they'd go on until when?
Oh, well, I never know. Right till midnight.
Mm. And, from your experiences, how many customers, clients, call them what you will, would these girls have in the...
Well, non-stop run.
Non-stop,
yes.
About 10 minutes of bang,
because hundreds of troops are about to go, you see, and they're all on the same hour, the only one.
No, of course not.
Still, I was very particular about being clean myself, not to get any disease, because a lot of them did, in a terrible state, diet, gonorrhea.
Yeah. Now, these girls, did they work for themselves, or was it a...
Madam took them, yes, Madam took the money.
Did she?
Yes.
Well, she sort of sitting
the
cash?
She was a horror,
cash,
yes.
Tell me something about her. What do you mean when you say she was a horror?
Well, I mean, she used to more or less time, and make sure you had a drink and everything before you went up there, spent some money drinking.
Yeah. And how many girls would a madam have?
Oh, about 20.
Did she really?
Big
very business.
Different places. Oh, yes, yeah. Big business. Yeah. Of course, it was a notorious thing. Yeah. France has always been notorious for that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But I believe the doctors came round regularly, even though the war was on.
Now, these girls, what were they like? You would go into these rooms, presumably. Were they stripped already?
Just one thin kimono on, one thin petticoat.
Mm.
Just to give you the feeling straight away.
Did you ever find that, you picked your girls beforehand, did you? Or was it the question of taking what you
could? No, I picked the one I liked, yes, I picked the one I liked.
Mm.
But I had some nice silly girls. My wife never done anything about it.
Oh, well, obviously. You must sow your wild oats. Tell me something about the silly girls.
Well, I've told about Fernand, and
What was it like? Oh, you say you were about 16 when you had your first girl on the sand. You nearly got drowned by the incoming tide. Were you disappointed with the event, or did it give you an appetite for more?
Give me an appetite, yes. But not just that alone. I mean, I like a girl for her looks.
Yes,
if a girl's not pretty or attractive, it wouldn't have any interest otherwise.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Well, I've been faithful all through my married life.
Oh, of course you have, I mean. Got to sow your wild oats, who hasn't?
Yeah.
But it's fascinating.
Well, I mean, when you knew you were going to be, might be killed the next week or the next day, you didn't have any compunction at all.
This is an interesting facet. Did you find that the girls felt like that too? Did you ever feel that the girls were letting you have them because they felt sorry for you because you might be killed, or did they let you have them because they found you attractive?
Well, maybe it'd be the latter with due modesty. But I mean, I was really, this girl was really fond of me, this Fernand was, and one or two others, really fond of me.
I don't think I'm harping on this, but it rather fascinates me, because in this promiscuous society now, when all the girls are on the contraceptive pill and contraception is easy to come by, it just, you know, makes me wonder a little bit that you know, girls then were so free when, you know, the contraceptions were not available.
Yes, well, by the way, we could get them. They were issued, yes.
Oh, you were issued with what?
Yes.
French letters?
And that's with that's the civvy girls. Mm. That's why, when you asked me, I forgot that. You just remind me. We did have contraceptives.
Oh, you did.
Because I always thought, well, I don't think I ever left any girl in trouble.
The reason I ask is because now, I mean, you know, you have kids out of wedlock, and I mean, it's accepted, but in your the time then, you know, to have a child out of wedlock was quite a stigma, wasn't it? Which no longer exists. This
What's the time, excuse me, by the way?
Well, I think it's time we called it a day.
What time is it then?
I make it, according to your clock, it's 12 o'clock.
Oh, that's all right.
Actually,
yes.
5 to 12. I'm not keeping you,
I've got to get the spuds peeled.
Have you? Oh, yeah.
Wife's busy at this other house cleaning
it
up.
I see.
Well, I better not speak. Well, that's all.
Oh, yes, do say what.